Before I start this podcast, I would like to announce that I am joining Imagine Sports Network. If you don't know what Imagine Sports Network is, please hit them up on TikTok and Instagram. Imagine Sports Network was started by Jack Cody, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. But he is a he runs a podcast, and he is now starting a network for young podcasters that want to get their name out, and just, you know, a network of basically we're going to be Barstool. You just wait. But I am very excited for this opportunity. I've always been, you know, trying to find different things to get my name out. And this, I felt like, was the best option. I'd like to thank Jack for the opportunity. And I'm very excited for what there is to come next. But yeah, Imagine Sports Network, Jack Cody, C-O-T-E. Follow them on TikTok and Instagram. Again, very excited. So we'll get along with this. We'll start this podcast up with some Yo Gotti, obviously, with the intro music. But again, Madden Sports Network. Very excited.
It's another one. I got that juice. New AP. She got that juice. She got that squeeze. She got that wet. I'm on them skis. I got that drip. I'm overseas.
So I'm watching Bucks Sixers, and I believe it was at halftime. I think it was at the end of the game, actually. I'm watching The Jump. Terrible show. And Tracy McGrady goes on to say that Giannis wouldn't succeed in today's NBA. In Tracy McGrady's era. Giannis wouldn't succeed there. Why? Why wouldn't Giannis succeed? Giannis... What Tracy McGrady doesn't realize is his league, his era of play was dominated by big men. It was dominated by guys like Shaq, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Yao Ming for a time. Guys like that, they were the ones that dominated the NBA. Now, the center position is completely extinct. If the centers that were in the early 2000s and when Tracy McGrady played, those types of players are few and far between in today's NBA. Because if you're a big man in today's league, you're still kind of expected to have to be able to shoot. And then the ones that can't, they aren't great basketball players in today's NBA. So in a league where Giannis you know, his position, you know, the way he plays, is so unique and so, like, different than what dominates the league, what dominates today's league, which is shooting, you know, guards, you know, really athleticism. That's not what basketball really was in Tracy McGrady's era. Giannis would be the centerpiece in Tracy McGrady's era. No big man in Tracy McGrady's era could handle the ball like Giannis. No big man in Tracy McGrady's era was athletic as Giannis. No big man in Tracy McGrady's era even could shoot like Giannis. I don't get this notion that from, like, old people. Like, why do they say that that the game was so much better in the 90s, so much better than the 80s. You know, NFL, people say that the game is tougher and, you know, you could hit guys in the head and you wouldn't get flagged for it. Yeah, you may be right, but the game is far better. You know how, like, back in the 80s and the 90s, you know, there was Jerry Rice, and then in came the early 2000s, Randy Moss and Terrell Owens, like, Those were players that were so unique. Like, you did not see guys like that. Oh, yeah. Well, in today's era, I think we have a handful of guys that are like that. That have, like, those guys' types of talent. Davante Adams has Randy Moss and Terrell Owens' talent. Stephon Diggs has that type of talent. Cooper Kupp has that type of talent. Deebo Samuel, Tyreek Hill, I can name 25 receivers that are extremely talented. Back in the 80s and the 90s, like, There were good players, but there weren't any guys close to what Jerry Rice and Terrell Owens and Randy Moss were. Those guys were different. And then you go to the NBA. Like, there is not... I can name so many guys in the NBA nowadays that would dominate the 80s and the 90s. Like, you're telling me... Let's just throw out a name. Jason Tatum. Telling me Jason Tatum isn't as good as what players were in the 80s and the 90s? Are you kidding me? There were guys like Dave DeBuscher, you know, Mark Price. What was that guy that got dunked on by Shaq and then pushed over? Whatever that guy's game. He played. Arvydas Sabonis was a guy that could play. Those guys wouldn't make it in today's NBA. They're not athletic enough. They can't shoot. Unathletic white dudes, like unathletic white point guards, white guards that just like are lunch pail guys and do all the little things. They don't succeed in today's NBA. You don't see those types of guys in today's NBA. The game is so much more fast, so much more athletic, way better shooting. Like the 80s and the 90s, it was all just guys that were tough. And then you had your Michael Jordans and your Larry Birds and your Magic Johnsons, guys that were just different. I can think of so many players in the NBA that would be different in that era, but they're not different today's era because there's so much talent. So, if you gave me like a top five least favorite arguments in sports, which I might do, I might do that in today's show. Top five least favorite arguments. I won't include this one because I'm going to talk about it, but like my least favorite arguments is like old people saying like, that ain't like the old days. You know, the old days, it was just better. Better basketball. You had Michael Jordan. You had Larry Bird. Like, it's just a terrible argument. There is so much talent in today's sports. Like, it's unreal. And we're lucky. And I honestly think that adults are just jealous. Like, when they were watching basketball and they were watching football, like, there were only so many games. Like, there was only, like, maybe four or five games where you could watch one player and be like, wow, that guy's amazing. In the NBA, I can switch on a Pistons Hawks game. I get to watch Trae Young. I get to watch Cade Cunningham. I get to watch Sadiq Bey. Like, I get to watch guys that are talented and guys that are fun to watch. I can flip on a Jags-Browns game. I get to watch Nick Chubb. I get to watch DJ Chark is fun to watch. James Robinson. Trevor Lawrence. Just, there's so many guys you can think of. Back in the old days, like, you could watch a game like, ugh, so boring. Where's the talented guys? I want to watch Jerry Rice. Yeah, well, Jerry Rice only plays once a week. There's other games on. It's really a horrible argument that I hate when... So, Tracy McGrady, Giannis couldn't succeed in his NBA. Tracy, your NBA was dominated by big man. Giannis would be the most athletic player in the NBA in that era, outside of maybe Kobe Bryant. So, if Giannis was going up against the big man, you were going up against Tracy? Giannis doesn't just succeed. Giannis dominates more than maybe Shaq did. Okay, so that's it for this next segment. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back with you. So we're going to do Juice's top five least favorite sports arguments. These are arguments that I believe have absolutely no base. I don't understand why people would make these arguments. Sometimes there are a few little things in their arguments that like maybe make a little sense, but then they're so easy to debunk and debate. So I'm gonna start with number five. Number five is Trevor Lawrence is perfect. Folks, there is no perfect quarterback. The thing that really bugs me about like people that like say like, oh man, there was only one John Elway, there was only one Peyton Manning, there was only one Andrew Luck. Everybody else, they had their flaws. Those three were perfect. One, yeah, they may have been really, really great prospects, but you're telling me you didn't predict, like, There weren't people that were saying that Ryan Leaf was the next John Elway. There weren't people that were saying Jamarcus Russell was a perfect prospect. There weren't people that were saying Sam Bradford wasn't a really good prospect. RG3. Every first overall draft pick at QB is going to be called perfect. But Trevor Lawrence was more than perfect. Trevor Lawrence was like, can't miss. And I really couldn't see it, and I'm not sure why people said he was either. He has been the number one... Sorry, I'm Clint, let me clear my throat here. Trevor Lawrence has been the number one prospect since he was a freshman in high school. Number one prospect for any football class he was in. So then he goes into Clemson, hyped up as hell. Excuse me. And he has a great freshman year, replaces Kelly Bryant, wins the national championship against Alabama. But, and then people were just like, all right, you know what? We're not going to evaluate him anymore. He is number one. He is going number one when he comes out, and he is going to be labeled as the next great quarterback in the NFL. Can't miss. Ladies and gentlemen, do you not realize that after Trevor Lawrence's freshman year, he had, in a terrible conference, like a really horrible football conference, the ACC, Trevor Lawrence proceeded to not blow you away statistically his next 2 years. Couldn't even, like, the second year, now his junior year, he got second in the Heisman voting, not sure how. Mac Jones should have been second, maybe even first over Devontae Smith, but at least second. Trevor Lawrence should have been third or fourth, actually fourth behind Kyle Trask. His statistics were not good. He missed a couple of games because he had COVID. But anyways, did not really come close to winning the Heisman. And I'm not saying he had to win the Heisman. Winning the Heisman is not important to, you know, being... Not winning the Heisman is not important to being a great NFL prospect. But Trevor Lawrence, like, didn't even really come close. He played fine in the ACC. And then when he went up against his best competition, i.e., one of the greatest college football teams of all time, LSU, got smoked, had one of his worst games. And then the next year against Ohio State, got dominated and outplayed by Justin Fields. And again, and a defense that was not that impressive. And I'm not talking about the team that he beat. I'm talking about the year before. I'm talking about the Justin Fields team his junior year, the COVID year, went up against Ohio State team that was incredibly flawed and got outplayed by Justin Fields and had his second worst game of his career. Like, did that not raise any eyebrows that when Trevor Lawrence went up against his best competition after his freshman year, he had his worst games? He did. And then to top it all off, do people not realize that he was going up against no pass rush in the ACC? No pass rushers, no great pass rusher in the ACC. And then, you know, dealing with a clean pocket, one of the best O-lines in college football every single year, and in high school, always dealt with a clean pocket. Do people not realize that maybe when he gets into the NFL and he's playing with a bad offensive line, maybe we should check his feet? Maybe we should see how he is under pressure? Like, I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence didn't deserve to be the number one overall pick, but he is not a perfect prospect. Nobody is. So let's stop hyping up these guys and saying they're perfect and they're not going to bust. Anyone can bust. Anyone. Any player that gets drafted in the NFL, if you are a first overall pick, you will always have potential to bust. And where he went, it doesn't help either. Like, he went to the Jags. Who's to say he's going to just take the Jags up by their bootstraps and take them to a playoff spot or a Super Bowl or just completely turn their franchise around? Not a lot of people can do that. And I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence can't technically do that, but let's not act like he was automatically going to do that. That's way too much pressure on the guy. All right, number four. This one kind of this guy is my favorite. There's two arguments that I don't like for this guy. It's about Aaron Rodgers, my favorite football player of all time. Number four is the argument that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have help. People. That was an argument four years ago. When Aaron Rodgers was with Mike McCarthy, yes, you could argue the Packers never gave Aaron Rodgers a lot of help. He never had a great defense in the Mike McCarthy era outside of the Super Bowl. Never really had top tier weapons. Never had a great running game. They always had a good old line, and then on top, and then his coach never had a great coach. So, yes, you could always say that when Aaron Rodgers like never really got the Packers to the next level, you could always do the defense argument. You could always do the he needed another receiver argument. But come on, I still see people on TikTok saying Aaron Rodgers is carrying the Packers, and he should leave. Do people not realize that Aaron Rodgers in the Matt LaFleur era has had a consistent borderline top 10 defense, this year a top, 7 defense, has had a consistent top 5 O-line, the best receiver in football, a great coach, pretty good running game with Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones isn't just a ground and pound running back, but like so he's not going to insanely help your running game, but he's a great running back. Great running backs, good tight ends. Aaron Rodgers has had the teams to win a Super Bowl the past 3 years. Unfortunately, things didn't turn out that way in the NFC Championship game, whether it's the defense finally falls flat on its face in the playoffs or, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a great performance. Like, let's not act like Aaron Rodgers just deserves zero blame. He's my favorite player of all time, but I am always fine to criticize Aaron Rodgers when he plays bad. Trust me, I know when Aaron Rodgers deserves blame, and when he deserves blame, I give it to him. But, like, come on. You cannot say that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have help. That was a take 4 years ago. Now, I believe that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league, but he is still, there's a reason he's getting to these, you know, NFC Championship games. Like, he's got the roster to get a team to a Super Bowl. It's just whether he can, you know, hold up his end of the bargain. And normally he does that, but there are games where he doesn't, and that's the unfortunate part of being a Packer fan. But yeah, the argument that Aaron Rodgers is just like he's living in this he's carrying the Packers on his back, and you know the Packers like don't deserve Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers should leave. That's not true. Aaron Rodgers, the best situation for him is right here in Green Bay. Because there's not a better roster that he's going to go to other than the Green Bay Packers. Number 3, I really hate saying this, but everyone needs to come to this realization. Kobe Bryant is not in the GOAT conversation. Kobe Bryant, even in my opinion, is not a top 5 player, but I didn't want to say that because there's an argument for him to be in the top 5, but there is not an argument for Kobe Bryant to be in the GOAT conversation. I understand that his death was tragic, and it affected so many of us as sports fans. But that does not mean that since he died young and died so unexpectedly and so tragically, that we have to name Kobe Bryant the greatest basketball player of all time. Nobody considered Kobe Bryant the greatest basketball player of all time, unless you were some guy from the hood wearing a Kobe jersey every day and saying, yeah, I love Kobe. Kobe has affected a lot of people's lives, and Kobe like stands like Kobe's that just Kobe fans that just like drop down to their knees for him. Those are the guys that like you can call Kobe the GOAT. I get it. Like he's your guy. Call him the GOAT. I don't care. But he's not. Like there are people that are like you. I originally was a victim of this. Kobe Bryant was normally in my, like, 8 or 9 spot for top players. Now, to me, he's in my 6 spot. Like, I put him way too high without even realizing it. Like, yeah, he died. That's going to make you want to, you know, honor him and give him a little more props. But let's be honest. He won 5 rings. Very, very impressive. He only won 1 MVP. And, you know, throughout his career, there was a stretch where he didn't win as much. Like, he did not have the longevity of success, I'd say, that LeBron and Jordan had. LeBron went to, 11 straight finals? Let me think. Eight straight finals, or 8 or 7, whatever. LeBron went to 8 straight finals. Jordan, when he played, he had 2 three-peats. Jordan was insane, and obviously Jordan retired early, but like, you know, retired multiple times, but like, when Jordan was playing, you knew he was at least going to get to an NBA Finals. Like, Kobe had a stretch after Shaq, and then when he got Powell, and then he started winning again, but like, there was a stretch I think it was like from 04 to 08. You know, Kobe wasn't winning. And I'm not putting that against him. That's not like it's a crazy stretch of time, but it's not compared to what LeBron and Jordan did. LeBron's won four MVPs, three. Oh my God, has he won three or four rings? The bubble ring, the Cleveland ring, and two Miami rings. Yeah, four rings. Yeah, LeBron's got four rings. That's one less than Kobe, but he's also got four MVPs. Like, come on. And LeBron's also going to dominate the scoring records, and Jordan's Jordan. Like, I understand. Kobe may be the closest thing we've ever seen to Jordan, but that doesn't mean he's Jordan at Jordan or LeBron's level just because he died. Like, I hate to say it. I hate to be that guy, but, like, we all have to come to the realization Kobe's great. Kobe's obviously a top 10 basketball player of all time, but he's not the GOAT. And I wouldn't even say he's top five. Number two. This one really makes my blood boil. When people say Aaron Rodgers isn't clutch. Folks, let me tell you what clutch means. Let me tell you what I when I think of a clutch quarterback, I mean when if there is a let's say there's a minute left, no timeouts, and your team is down four. What quarterback do you want to have the ball in your hands starting at the 25? You need a score with a minute to go, no timeouts. Who do you want with the ball in their hands? I would argue Tom Brady, obviously. Peyton Manning. Matt Stafford obviously has his drives. And of course, you put Aaron Rodgers in that argument. When you throw out these stats, like Aaron Rodgers is what, 0 and 42 when trailing teams with a winning record by when trailing by one or more points against teams with a winning record in the fourth quarter, he's 0 and 42. First off, there's an article that Nathan Merzion wrote that debunks that theory, that record, so incredibly much. He goes over every game and he says like why the stats are a little misleading. Like Aaron Rodgers, basically what it means is you can look at those stats, but you can't put every single one of those losses on Aaron Rodgers. I think Merzion wrote that like maybe 1/6 of those losses were on Aaron Rodgers. Like there's rarely like please point to a time. I want everyone to think about this. Point to a time where Aaron Rodgers had the ball at the end of a game, like with less than 2 minutes left and he needed a score. Point to a time where Aaron Rodgers just didn't deliver. I'd say the one time that I can think of, and this wasn't even with 2 minutes left, this was like 4 minutes left, in the playoffs this year in the divisional round against the 49ers, Aaron Rodgers did not deliver. Aaron Rodgers was very unclutch in that. But when you look at the 49ers game of the regular season, week three, there is I don't I think there's only two quarterbacks that could do what Aaron Rodgers did in that game. 30 seconds left, no timeouts, got down the field and was able to get in range for a field goal. Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, I think, are the only people that could do that. Aaron Rodgers is very clutch. You want me to throw out so many examples of his clutchness? Like, is an unclutch quarterback doing what he did against the Cowboys in the NFC divisional round in 2017? That deserved a lot of clutchness. How about the next year against the Cowboys, week four? Think if there's a quarterback that's not clutch, getting down there with a minute left and a timeout and throwing a back shoulder fade to Davante Adams for the go-ahead touchdown to win the game, do you think that was unclutch? Like, you can throw out all these very, very derogatory and minuscule stats that say, like, oh, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have enough game-winning drives, or Aaron Rodgers is 0-42 against teams with a winning record down by more than a point in the fourth quarter. Like, yes, Aaron Rodgers has had some bad moments in the playoffs where he doesn't really show up. But if you can look me straight in the eye, dead in the eye, and say that you don't want Aaron Rodgers with the ball with a minute left, down four, and you need a score, you're telling me like you would be uncomfortable with Aaron Rodgers with the ball in his hands. If you can look me in the eye and say that, you need to go to a therapist. Aaron Rodgers is very clutch. And my last argument, and I hate saying this, but we need to get past this. Number one, when people say that Tom Brady isn't the GOAT, get over yourself. The people that say Tom Brady isn't the GOAT were people like me when I was in 6th grade and 7th grade in middle school. Because I've watched Tom Brady, and I'd be like, oh, he's just throwing checkdowns, and his job is so easy, he's a system quarterback. People, you can't just be a system quarterback and have 7 rings. Winning a Super Bowl is one of the hardest things to do in sports. Tom Brady has 7 rings. Let me make sure. Tom Brady Super Bowls. I think it's 7. He's been to 9. No. Yes, 7 rings. 7 rings. He's been to 10 Super Bowls. He is 7-for-10 in Super Bowls. He has won 3 MVPs. He owns every major passing record. Nobody has ever dominated their sport for this. Outside of maybe LeBron, nobody ever dominated their sport. Not LeBron. Tom Brady played until he was 44 and was a top 5 quarterback in every season he played. In every season he played from, I think, his first Super Bowl until this year when he retired. He has always been a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. Even when he was in his 40s, he retired this year, but you know damn well he could have played another at least 2 years and been successful. I'll tell you, when I watched him, I didn't see any. He could have still played. You saw his stats. He was amazing this year. When people say that Tom Brady isn't the GOAT, like, what is your... How can you argue that? You can say he's not the best quarterback of all time, because then that just comes to, like, skill. That just comes to, like, who is the better, like, all-around, like, quarterback when you isolate their quarterback value in terms of their arm talent, arm strength, pocket mobility, everything that goes into being a quarterback. You can argue that Tom Brady isn't the best quarterback of all time. But the greatest quarterback of all time, and the greatest, like, when it comes to the GOAT for any sort of sport, comes down to rings, MVPs, records, and, like, longevity, and clutchness. All those things that I just listed, Tom Brady is probably the best in every single one of them. Longevity, don't even need to say it. He played until he was 44 and was still a top 5 quarterback at 44. That's insane. Rings, no, don't even need to mention that. Tom Brady has 7 rings. That's the most by any player of all time. And not to mention that's more than any team of all time. It goes Tom Brady, Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. Tom Brady, 7 rings, Pittsburgh Steelers. That is just like... That to put it into perspective, that's insane. Tom Brady has more rings than any franchise in NFL history in the NFL. Clutchness. Tom Brady in every single Super Bowl he was in had a game. Tom Brady in out of his 7 Super Bowls had 6 game winning drives. That's a stat. Records. Tom Brady holds every major passing record. It may be a longevity thing, but he holds every major passing record. Like, let's get over ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We all hate Tom Brady. Why did we hate Tom Brady? Because he was so good for so damn long, and he was in every single Super Bowl. It pissed us off, but we got to give the man his props. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, probably the greatest football player of all time, and maybe the most, like, clutch, greatest athlete of all time. If you want to isolate just everything, like quarterback value and records. He may be the greatest. And it really pains me to say it. Alright, that'll be it for this segment. Next segment will be... I'm drawing a blank here. Oh, yeah. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Clements. Tom Clements, I'm going to talk about that. Thank you for listening, and we'll get to the next one. So, going into the offseason after the 49er loss, and even after, like, right after the game, I saw Rodgers' face, and I was just like, yeah, this era, it's over. We got to blow it up. We got to blow it up. Then, you know, I sit back, I'm in thought, and I came to my senses and said, Why would we want to give up our MVP quarterback? Why? Why? If the Packers, how could the Packers even be in a state of mind where they have a quarterback who's just won two straight MVPs, makes their offense look like, brings their offense to a whole different level? I mean, we saw the offense of Jordan Love look completely out of sorts. And speaking of Jordan Love, the guy who you drafted to replace Rodgers, in the two games he's played, has looked like he's just not ready. And that's with a year of sitting. Like, I get Rodgers sat for 3 years and looked amazing, but that just doesn't happen in today's league. Like, you have to evolve faster than that. What would the Packers, why would the Packers ever feel that, you know, it's time to move on from Rodgers? Really, he's looking like he's showing no signs of slowing down. Yeah, he's got some, you know, baggage as a person, but he's been in the organization for, what, it's going to be his 18th year. You've, quote-unquote, dealt with it for that long. Why stop now? And he's already said he's in a great spot with the organization. Who cares what the media thinks about him as a person? It's all that matters is what you think. And what Rodgers says is he loves the organization. So why would you feel the need to let him go? So right now, the Packers, that was my mindset coming at after the 49ers game. Now I think there's a very small chance he leaves, even retires. And what the Packers did this week really sealed it for me. Last week, they hired Tom Clements to be Aaron Rodgers' QB coach. Rodgers has always said that the relationship between your position coach and you is a very sacred relationship. Rodgers had an unbelievably great relationship with Alex Van Pelt. And when the Packers let him go, Rodgers voiced his you know, frustration with that move. Then he had a great relationship with Tom Clements, who was the Packers offensive coordinator with Mike McCarthy, I believe, in 2014 to 2016, something like that, or it was in the mid 2010s. And then Rodgers had a great relationship with Luke Getsy and Nate Hackett. Rodgers has always had these great relationships with offensive coordinators and stuff like that. Packers know that, and they went and got Tom Clements, a guy who Rodgers has voiced so much positive about his football mind. And then they promote Adam Stenovich, not to mention they promote Adam Stenovich, an offensive line coach who Rodgers has voiced great opinions about. He's now the offensive coordinator. It's not just the players. It's not just, you know, the Packers are like, you know, we gotta get Rodgers. We gotta get Rodgers this. We gotta get Rodgers that. And people are like, oh, well, you can't get Rodgers, all these new players. You can't go out and get him great free agents because they don't have the money for it. I don't think that's exactly what Rodgers really, really wants. I think what Rodgers wants is just good relationships in the building, and he knows that he's getting good relationships with this coaching staff. He loves Tom Clements. He loves Adam Stenovich. He loves LaFleur. And right now, sounds like he loves Gutekunst. Rodgers knows that whoever he plays with, he's going to make them, at least on offense, he's going to make them better than what they're advertised. Like, you think Alan Lazard would even be a player on any other team without Aaron Rodgers? I don't think he's going to be anything crazy. Right now, he's considered like an above-average receiver. But Rodgers elevates him. Rodgers, any receiver you give Rodgers, I think you're elevating him. Now, would you like to get another receiver, like another top-tier receiver outside of Devontae Adams? Yeah, but life isn't fair like that. That's not how the NFL works. When you're a really good team, sometimes you just don't have the salary cap for that. The Packers obviously don't. So the Packers know that the way we keep Rodgers in Green Bay is you get him good relationships. You get him Randall Cobb. You hire Tom Clements. You keep guys like Jake Kumerow around, who Rodgers loved. And they cut him, and Rodgers voices disdain for that. he doesn't want, he doesn't think, Rodgers doesn't, like, need Jake Kumerow the player. He wants Jake Kumerow the person and Jake Kumerow the reliability of him as a receiver. So, like, when people say that Rodgers is selfish and Rodgers, you know, he wants this, he wants that, what he's asking for really isn't, in terms of money, not asking for a lot. But you heard him in that press conference in July. He said he didn't like the way guys like Jordy Nelson, Brett Goode, Randall Cobb, Julius Peppers, he doesn't like the way they left the building. You want to know why? Because the Packers' best player, number 12, Aaron Rodgers, the guy who's been the catalyst of the franchise for over a decade. You let him go. You let them go without telling Rodgers, because Rodgers really cared about those players. And obviously, Rodgers thinks they help the team, you know, on the field. But you can find another Jordy Nelson. You can find another Randall Cobb. You can find another Brett Goode. You can find another Julius Peppers. Guys at that point in their careers, not crazy talented. You can find guys that have their talent, but they don't have that relationship with Rodgers. You can find another Tom Clements. I'm sure there's another great quarterback coach that has just as good of a mind as Tom Clements. But it's Tom Clements, Rodgers' friend. And that's why I think the Packers are going about this the completely right way. You get Rodgers, players that he loves, and the play will settle itself. Because he's Aaron Rodgers, and he makes everybody around him better. But just get him guys that he likes, and he'll stick around. And that's what the Packers are doing. And I really, really, really think that Aaron Rodgers will be a Packer in this next season. All right. That should just about do it for the juice. Thank you for listening. Imagine Sports, huge thank you for allowing me to join your network, Jack. I've been in contact with him. Jack is a very nice guy from what I'm, talk to him in text. And I really appreciate him allowing me to be on the team. I expect great things. I expect great things to happen from this. So I'll see you guys next week. Chance, take us out.
Thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm critical. My nitty bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice, I got the juice.
10-0, Chatham's on. Foolie's glad I'm on. Even my haters kinda glad I'm on. Rest in peace to my